First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
the smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Hey,
hey, we survived another week.
Episode 3.
I have no, like, recollection of that episode, so watching it was really fun. And, like, yeah, kind of voyeuristic, because watching the whole Nathan Haley thing unfold was, like, brand new for me.
Yeah, that was exciting. It was fun to see it from this perspective rather than from just being, and I had sense memory. I didn't have a lot of it the last two episodes, but this one I had a lot of sense memory of being there. I remembered being sitting at that table. I remember the whole Cracker Jack scene. And I forgot that it was in this episode. I thought that happened later. I thought she was like, I agree to tutor you. And then like later he did that. So that was kind of cool. That was fun to see.
Did you have any idea in the moment that that little bench was going to become like a cultural icon in downtown Wilmington?
Never in a million years did I think that.
I mean, of course. How many people have proposed at that bench? The photos we see of like engagements and you know, people there with their babies, and it's so cool. And
their baby's named Haley.
I know.
And like to see it. It's just this beautiful two shot. The DP got it just right. And whatever time of day you guys did it, you know, it was like magic hour, the reflection of sunset in the water, or I guess it would have been sunrise because it was supposed to be 7 a.m.
Yeah.
It's just so pretty.
It was iconic.
It was so beautiful, the way the water was glowing and everything. And then the fact that Nathan looks at her and says that line, don't say I never gave you anything. I mean, that is the line that fans quote to me. You know, you were saying your art matters is the one that you get all the time, Hillary. That's the one that I get all the time. Don't say I never gave you anything. It meant so much to people. And I also clocked, which I don't know that I clocked it when we were filming, but Haley's still wearing the bracelet at the end of the night. Like, she didn't take it off. Why didn't she take it off?
That gave me shivers a little bit, because it made me wonder, like, had Haley ever had like a little boyfriend in middle school? Like, had Haley ever had that like deep flirtation before? Was this like the first boy that was, I don't know. Did you guys have a conversation about that?
We didn't, but I do remember thinking that and feeling like this is the first, that's why she's getting drawn in, even though she's trying to be a good friend and, you know, just do the right thing and help someone who's in need. I mean, the captain of the basketball team, is that the word? The lead?
So handsome.
Yeah. I still don't know basketball terms, but
touchdown.
You know,
touchdown game. Touchdown. That's
so Haley in that moment.
Funny.
Yeah, I think you hit it. That's it.
Speaking of things that were incredibly authentic, what I like about our show is that there's nothing like cool. The hazing takes place in someone's mom's minivan.
Yeah. And they just throw him in a puddle.
But that's it. It's the worst. It's the worst that they do.
We're got you wet and dirty. What?
They soaked his clothes with water in his locker.
Was it water or was it pee? Do we know?
I don't know. That would have been worse, because I'll tell you what, I had bullies in sixth grade and they put dog shit in my locker. And like, that was horrendous. And I'm
your sixth grade bullies were harder than teenage
this
boys
is what I'm
in
saying.
This episode.
Oh my God.
I mean, I was in Jersey, so maybe part of it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's all they did was push him in a puddle.
You look so cute with your little barrettes in this in this episode. Yeah. Was that your idea to do pigtails?
I have no idea. I don't remember that at all.
I feel like probably. It must
you
have
know
been.
It was.
It probably was. And those
our bosses
barrettes.
Were always like, just wear your hair down.
Oh, yeah. I was like, no, I want her to look really sweet and innocent. She did. It worked. I mean,
it worked.
Even just that last shot of Haley and Lucas on the bench, and I saw what a baby face I was, and just the innocence and sort of what I caught a moment of the appeal that everybody loved about Nathan and Haley, that it was so young. We were so young and feeling so many big things.
And there was such a, like a purity to it. Yeah. The way that you held Haley's experience and held that choice and for this noble idea of saving your friend sort of, you know, took on something that you were afraid of. It was just so fun to watch.
It was fun. Well,
let's talk about the acting range, though, Joy, because my favorite thing on the internet is that montage that one of your fans cut together of all your kissing scenes from when you were on a soap opera.
Oh,
it was
God.
like the sexiest ever. It was so passionate and intense, and you did it as like a teenager, and that was all pre One Tree Hill.
Yeah.
So then to see you flip that switch and just be the most pure little angel on the planet. I was like, this girl knows what she's doing. I love it.
Oh, it's so fun. I had so much fun with Haley, like with a cool, cool character. By the way, talk about having fun. Brooke was like a ball in this episode.
Cheetah print.
My face is still red, you guys. Like, look at me and look at you. I'm very red. Oh my God. It was such a weird, like when you had that moment at the dock and you were like, oh, this scene. I popped up out of Lucas's backseat and I went, oh God, this scene. Oh no. Like I couldn't even look at it. And I remember, oh, and Hillary, you called me out. You were like, you went from all girls school to this. I was like, listen, I can't talk about it. Like I remember being in there and like understanding. They were like, you know, you're doing this thing and you've really got to try to seduce him. And they just like kept telling me to be sexier. They were like, well, everything you say should be, you know, an invitation. And I look back and I'm like, oh God, a bunch of creepy old dudes wrote this and then like told me what their fantasy was. God. I don't know about this.
You're 21? Could you sex this up? That'd be great.
Yeah,
Could you just really, with every word you say, suggest that you'd like to have intercourse with this person?
Waiting in the back seat is one. Like waiting in the back seat is one thing. But did you girls in high school ever change in the back seat of a car with a boy, like a boy that you liked that was driving or whatever?
No,
really?
Christ, no,
I did.
No.
What? Joy?
Joy?
You were kissing on TV with all that skill.
No.
Are you serious?
Well, I also, I mean, again, God, it's so nerdy. I went to an all-girls school, dude. Like, I was driving around with girls all the time.
Yeah.
I did get, though, being a camp counselor, very good at doing a full change in my sleeping bag, like in a cabin, because I felt weird about, like, you know, taking my clothes off around kids that weren't mine, even though I was in charge of them.
Solid skill.
I would change in my sleeping bag and just pop out.
I definitely like changed in cars all the time, but like never with a boy.
Really?
Like, ever. Yeah. Who'd you change in front of?
I remember a couple of times I remember in particular, this boy that I kind of liked, but we just had to go somewhere and I was like, I got to change. Listen, part of it being a theater kid, I was so comfortable going backstage and there's quick changes and you don't think twice about it. And it's not like your body. It's like your body. You just got to change.
But did you do dance too?
I did. Yeah.
So there's a body awareness that dancers have that like clunky people like me are always kind of mystified by. Like, wow, they know what, you know, their joints are supposed to do.
Yeah. Feeling... I also, you know, my boobs were developing. It was high school. Like I was getting attention from boys, you know, it was like, there was all kinds of other things
going
on too.
Is that when you were doing your Mariah Carey thing, wearing hoop earrings? And
oh yeah. That full on dark liner with the frosty lip.
Yep.
And
the 90s.
So hold on, real life and then TV life, Brooke and Joy, or Brooke and Haley, and then Sophia and Joy flip-flopped. Like,
a little bit.
Joy's changing with dudes. Sophia's an all-girl. And now Sophia's slutting it up on the show. They took this episode to paint you two as polar opposites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They really did. Yes.
They really did. And I will say the thing that that I loved that we got, which thinking about, again, who was writing all this stuff for us, it seems even more like a miracle now. But Hill, when we had the scene, you know, in the hallway and like Brooke gets her bra back from Lucas and then you come and, you know, chase me out. Yeah. And I watched myself like be more myself. Like she was just a kid who was like, no, I think he's just nice. And you could see that that was such a change for her and something that made her feel so excited. And that seemed like innocent and youthful to me. And then she switches it right back. Like that's the thing I'm remembering now watching is that Brooke Davis, when she would let her real feelings come out, would always cover it with like a, it's going to be great when he sleeps with me. Try to resist.
By the way, Brooke actually kind of came off to me as a virgin in this episode. Like she's what, you know,
it's a lot of big like, talk.
Yeah. Like she's really trying to make everybody think something that's actually not true for whatever reasons going on in her personal life.
But that's the whole thing is her through this first season, especially what I had to find for her was that she was actually just a really scared little kid who desperately was seeking validation anywhere that she could get it and was very willing to play the part of like, I have it all together when she didn't feel like that.
So I love girls out there feel that way.
When we do merch, let's make a promise, okay? I want Joy to make these little bracelets, but out of like rose quartz and like amethyst. Like, let's class them up.
I wrote it down.
Did you? And then I need a Brooke Davis cheetah bra in my life. Like, why don't I have one?
I don't know.
Girl, I want them pushed up.
The backseat
Brooke's bras.
Yeah. I feel like those would sell.
I'm so in.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Guys, email us and tell us what you think. Would you buy your backseat leopard bra and a fancy Cracker Jack bracelet?
I'm thinking email like iHeart a very chic charm bracelet. You know what I mean?
What's our email address at iHeart? DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
There it is. The other thing that stood out to me so big from the backseat, actually, there'd be a silver lining there. But when I had to lean over and say, how many moments can you point to and say, that's when it all changed?
Yeah. Perfect.
And I keep asking him if he can feel it. Like, can you feel it? Everything changed for you today. And then you keep seeing these moments where it all changes for each of us. Peyton gets her artwork accepted at Thud and then also defends her artistic thesis.
Yeah.
Haley, it turns around and there's Nathan in the tutoring office and he says, I need you to tutor me. Like we had these moments that we can point to for each of our characters.
And when Lucas looks at Brooke and says, you don't have to act this way, you know, he's the first guy that's ever said that to you.
Yeah.
We all had those little moments.
Yeah.
And it was the beginning of seeing Brooke's as sort of the voice of wisdom that she eventually became and grew more and more into.
Oh, I love that.
It was cool.
It was really good. And what I love is the foreshadowing of being in that waxing parlor. And Brooke makes this whole thing about, I want stability and I want a boyfriend, but nothing dramatic like you and Nathan. Like the foreshadowing there is so on point.
It's so true. Also, we probably should talk about the Chad being naked with the basketballs.
Oh my God.
We should
talk about that, Joy. You're right.
Okay, so apparently what they did was they cut a hole in the basketball for Chad.
But then wouldn't it have deflated?
I don't know.
How do basketballs work?
Like paper mache. I don't know. It was some like big prop thing that they made for him.
Where does it live now? Where is said prop basketball now?
That's a good question.
It's probably in some creepy storage bin that has like a code on the front of it in a warehouse at Warner Brothers, like somewhere in the valley, and no one will ever see it again.
Basketball
jockstrap. Yeah. Oh, God.
This is the dick ball. It's going to be great. Big, fun episode. And we also are very lucky this episode to have one of our dear friends joining us. He was here from the jump.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yes. And so we're going to go to break, but don't go anywhere because we have a total babe waiting for you.
Hey, hey.
and gentlemen, one of our favorite co-stars there from the very beginning. You may know him as Marvin Mouth McFadden. We know him from the Torkelsons. We know him as Minkus from Boy Meets World. He's been in so many movies at this point. He does all these David Fincher movies that put him on a level that make us all jealous.
For like 30 seconds.
Whatever, Lee.
Oh, whatever.
He was in Zodiac. Also, you did like October Road with Greenberg?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
We had our Christmas movie, Interestingly enough, Rhoda Griffiths, who played my mother,
was in the episode. That I wasn't, by the way. I was like, I had my notebook out and I was like, "Where? Oh, no, I'm not in this episode."
Lee, we love you. Lee Norris, ladies and gentlemen.
It's so good to see you. It's been the last time the four of us were together, I don't even remember. It's insane. But
so long.
I know.
Was it a convention? Probably.
Maybe, but I feel like Soph and Hill, you were there, but I don't know if Joy made it. And like, Joy, I think the last time I saw you was when we did like James and Steve Coletti's like.
Yeah, that's right. Although we did talk recently when you bought Girl Scout cookies for my daughters.
Oh my Thank God. You. Those Girl Scout cookies.
You, Sophia, myself, and Brian Greenberg all got very giggly. At a bar at a hotel in Wilmington the last time we did a convention together there.
Yes, we did.
Remember, it was going to be like, guys, we're just going to meet for like 5 minutes. And by 2 o'clock in the morning, we had the bartender ordering us pizza.
Yes.
We're like, Liz, can you feed us?
We really need some carbs.
Please,
please. Sorry, please. That.
Oh, Lee, are you in North Carolina right now?
Yeah, I'm in North Carolina. And so weird. I was actually just in Wilmington. We went down to Wrightsville Beach like 2 weeks ago. Just for a beach vacation. And it was so trippy to be there. It coincided with the release of your first episode. So, of course, I'm like listening in the car as I'm driving to Wilmington and literally was like, seeing all the places and like being at Tower 7 and just feeling
so
like
cool.
Really connected to it in a different way. So,
how did you get the job of Mouth? Like, how did that come together for you?
Yeah, this first season was so crazy for me because, in the pilot, I was in school at Wake Forest, which is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, for anybody that doesn't know, which is like 3.5 hours from Wilmington where we shot. And, I had done those shows as a kid and I sort of kept an agent around. But by the time I got to college, I'd seen kids like come into Boy Meets World, forget a line and get fired. And I was like, this is like a business. This isn't just, fun saying lines or whatever. So I, at that point, was like, well, maybe I'll go to law school. Like when I was at Wake, I thought that's what I was going to do. I was like, it's kind of like being an actor, right? You're a lawyer. You get up and you know,
wax poetic and
exactly.
I'm gonna
present
tell
the
story.
Facts and convince everyone.
So that's what I thought I was going to do. And then the audition for Ravens, One Tree Hill, got sent to my agent. I knew it was shooting in Wilmington. My agent was like, just go to Wilmington and audition. All my friends were going on spring break. They were like going to Cancun, getting wasted. And I was like, well, I'm going to Wilmington to audition for this show. I'll never hear from them, whatever. And then, I did it. And they brought me back in to, I guess, do like a chemistry read with Colin Ficus. So that was my chemistry. Testing, Jimmy and Mouth together. And Colin is someone that I knew. We grew up like auditioning in North Carolina together for stuff. So that's how it came about. And I have to give a lot of credit to Wake Forest. They were really cool to let me do the pilot and then to do the first season. I was recurring. So I, not being a regular, I didn't want to, I really wanted to graduate because it was my senior year at Wake when we were shooting the first season. So I was driving back and forth that first year between Wake and Wilmington, writing papers in the trailer all night at the River Court, driving back to Wake Forest, taking a test. On like 2 hours of sleep, getting back in my car, coming back to Wilmington. But it was, it was crazy, but it was so worth it because I got to graduate and I got to do this show that I had no idea would take me 10 years of my life. So,
dude, weren't you in like an acapella group too?
Hell, I
remember you being like, he was in a group.
Of course I was an acapella nerd, Hillary. I was.
I loved it. You'd be like, hey man, my group's performing on Thursday if you guys want to come check it out. Yeah.
Dude, our group, yeah. our group was the first co-ed a cappella group on campus. That was like a big deal that it was men yeah. and women. Like, this is a Southern college. Like, it was like, yeah. we were like the risky kids that like could have girls and guys in the same group. Like, what are
the
they
risky a cappella kids? Oh yeah. my
Wait,
God.
What was your jam? What was like, what was the jam that you guys performed?
So we sang Sexual Healing and I oh. sang it as a duet with a girl, my friend Susie, and it was
my friend Susie. Yeah.
Oh my yeah. God.
So. Had you hung out in Wilmington before?
Yeah, you know, growing up in, I grew up in North Carolina. When I wasn't in LA shooting the shows, I always came back to North Carolina because this is where my family and friends were. And so I had done two episodes of Dawson's just as like little throwaway characters and had gotten kind of a peek at that world and a lot of our crew. And I did all those terrible TV movies in the 90s where I was like the kidnapped and battered and abused child.
Wait, you know, give us some names. Give us names.
Any Place But Home was the name of one. And I was actually kidnapped and I didn't want to go home because Alan Thicke was my dad and he was abusing me. I mean,
oh my God.
You
oh
can't
God.
Even make this stuff up. But.
Actually, that brings up a good point because you having grown up in this business,
yeah.
I kind of grew up, I started when I was 12, but I think you were younger when you started, right? How old
yeah,
were
I was,
you?
Yeah, I was nine when I did the tour.
Yeah. So yeah. you really wow. grew up in this biz. I mean, what was that like? From your perspective, coming into Wilmington and seeing a bunch of us who were like, you know, some people who were super novice at, yeah. you know, 17, 18, I had been around a little bit longer, but, you know, you must have known so much more about the business and what the expectations were and, you know, kind of watched us stumbling through it. What was that like?
No, it was, I mean,
you were so helpful. Like,
it's
I
so
knew
nice
you were
of you
really
to say that. I mean, I just remember coming in and, you know, again, sort of picking up on what I was just saying, watching kids get fired. Like I yeah. came in with this very, it's ingrained in you as a child actor. You're like, or back then it was like, you hit your mark, you know, your lines, you don't ruffle feathers. You know, I just wanted to work and be there. And so I just tried to, you know, I was always the first one in the van to go to set. Like, mm-hmm, you know, I yes. didn't want to give them any reason.
Yeah.
Because I loved doing the show and I loved you guys. And I wanted to, you know, the mouth was just a total, literally a sideline character. Just had, you know, nothing to do at the start. So I had no idea whether they would keep writing for me or not. In fact, Sophia, mm-hmm. I remember one night we were in like iHeart New York Pizza after, do you remember that place?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Downtown, we'd had some drinks or whatever. And like, I just was convinced that they weren't bringing me back. And I was like, guys, it's been nice knowing you. I really enjoyed getting to meet you all. Like, I'm not going to see you. And you, Sophie, you're like, shut up. We're going to make them bring you back. And I was like, I have no idea. You know, I just didn't.
I was like, you are not leaving.
That's right.
Yeah. I will not allow it.
But no, I mean, it was just coming in. I, you know, it was a totally different world than doing something like Boy Meets World, which was a sitcom and was so contained. And I was really inspired by you guys because I watched you, you know, taking on these, we were still kids, really. I mean, but we were growing up really quickly and figuring out these roles and figuring out things behind the scenes. And, you know, when I saw you guys stand up for things, I was like, oh, that's, wow, can we even do that? Like, that's amazing. You know what I mean?
These girls don't know the rules.
That's what I'm like. I'm wondering if you just sat back and watched us step in landmine after landmine and you're like, look, can't do that.
No, I mean,
I'll never forget a day where I got really frustrated on set and we were all in our cast chairs and Lee just looked at me. It was that scene on the quad. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and Lee just looked at me. He goes, well, tomorrow's a new day. Like, it was so,
like I'm a 90-year-old character actor with a cigarette, like, hanging on my mouth. Take it over, kid. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You'll be fine, kid.
No, I was totally inspired by you guys. And Hillary, you were so sweet to me at the pilot. I remember I came in because Joy and Soph, you guys hadn't gotten there yet. And Hill, I remember you came in and I knew you from MTV and I thought you were like, you're gorgeous and smart and cool, just like the epitome of cool. And, you know, I was just like number, 12 on the call sheet. Like, no one had to be nice to me. And you came right
Minkus,
up to me.
Baby.
And you were like, look, my brothers don't care about Chad Michael Murray. They care about Minkus. Like, they were so, you made me feel so at ease. And I'll always love
Yeah, it. I think I probably made you sign things. I was like, hold on, I'm going to need you to like sign some stuff. Because Boy Meets World was like a huge deal when we were growing
huge.
Up. I mean, you were on a hit show. And like us doing the pilot of One Tree Hill, no one ever thought that would go. you know? So you were the godfather, you know, that had actually done it. How long did Boy Meets World run?
I think they did, I don't know, 6 or 7 seasons. But the thing about that is I only did the first season, and people don't realize that. I think
they
sometimes think
only
I was
the
there.
First?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about that character was it was so, you know, it was such a fun and memorable character that I think people just, and then I came back later and did like an episode where they graduated from high school and they brought me back. And then when they did their reunion show, they were cool enough to bring me in. And so, yeah, you know, and honestly, I have to say, I'm really glad actually that it worked out the way it did, because I don't know that I would have gotten the opportunity to do our show, to do One Tree Hill, if I'd been on that the whole time. Because you know how it is, you get locked into those roles.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys knew that we'd be out, and like, you know, and people would scream Minkus from across the bar. And it's like,
yeah.
If I'd been on the whole time, from one season, that's right. So that's what I mean. I almost feel like it was kind of fortuitous that, you know, I wasn't just so locked in, even though I sort of am. But.
So the subtext here is that Lee can take a couple episodes and make an iconic character.
Are you my power?
That's right. Yeah,
that's
so
right. He's like, oh, what, 3 scenes?
David Fincher keeps calling you.
You guys, I need to talk to you more often.
Lee, were you a fan
of
basketball?
Hype girls?
That's right. Were you a basketball fan when you started? I mean, you had a lot of diet. This was like a medical jargon or like legal jargon, the amount that you just had to like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
I mean, how was that for you?
Yeah, no, I was because I was at Wake Forest, which is a big ACC basketball school. So when I came in for the audition, I was actually wearing it was called like the Freakin' Deacons, because the Demon Deacons were our mascot. And I was into like the basketball club that like the fans that like amped out for tickets. And
you sweet little bunny.
You know, I mean, I loved it. There was no way I was ever going to play basketball, but it, you know, I loved watching it, you know? So I was a fan, and that was, you know, nice for me to sort of channel that and bring that into those early days when that's really all he was. And it wasn't until, you know, like later in the season when the cheerleading and the Brook and Mouth boy toy stuff that they really started to kind of flesh him out.
Mm-hmm. I loved that the most. That's like truly one of my favorite storylines of my whole 9 years. But I'm curious about the jargon and the lingo, like you being part of that whole basketball scene at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Were there like college basketball reporters that you were listening to prep to like learn the way they talk, and there he goes down the line and he shoots and he's not like, it's such a way that they do that.
I probably should have been doing that, but I mean I just watch a lot of ESPN in general, so I was
The
thing about Mouth is he didn't have to be professional. Like, this was a kid who was just passionate and was sort of, you know, he was you know, the nerdy kid who was trying to find his voice. So I think the great thing was I didn't have to be perfect at it. There was room to kind of be like a novice about it. I think it was just enough that I sort of naturally enjoyed watching the game. But yeah, it was a lot. And like sitting on that picnic bench at the river court, my ass was like chafed after sitting there all, you know, we'd be out there like all night.
17 all hours. Night.
Yeah. 17
it's
hours.
It's like insta bonding. There's no other business I can think of where it's like this. I mean, maybe military. I don't know, where you just get thrown in with people, a bunch of people you don't know. And all of a sudden you're up all night together. You're spending long hours and like lots of time sitting around, lots of time just quietly available to talk, and you know, it's really cool. Did you feel, because you were there for all those River Court nights and everything, that was your gig, so did you feel like you were able to really connect in with the whole group, or did you feel like what was your experience like in the first season?
Those, I don't know about you guys, but those were always my favorite scenes when they got all of us together and we just got, you know, it was 3 a.m and we're just, you know,
goofy.
Colin Moss is singing like the theme song to the Golden Girls, and we're just like we're, you know, that was the most fun. And I feel like what really struck me, because your podcast has inspired Andrew and I, we've gone back and started watching it now, because we're like, we're watching all these other shows in quarantine and stuff. So, you know, we started going back, and so we watched the pilot this weekend and through this episode, and it's just so crazy to me, like to see, especially in this episode, you see so much of downtown at the river, the river walk and all of that. And to think that that was the backdrop for our show, but that was the backdrop for our real lives too. So it's I'm seeing the steps that they're sitting on for the burning boat thing. And like, that's the steps that we were like, you know, kind of buzzed on at 2 a.m. talking about
Greenberg playing a guitar.
Exactly. So it's just so surreal. But yeah, those are by far my favorite scenes, you know.
Lee, were there any like misconceptions about Mouth? Anything that, you know, people maybe didn't quite understand about him, or anything that you really felt you wanted people to understand about him?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think as far as Mouth, I think what's interesting about him is you see him as sort of the nice guy. And yet he was written in a different time. And I think this is true about all of our characters, right? I mean, there was things that were written for him that now when I go back and look at it, I'm like, oh, I don't know if he should have walked up to Brooke and just kissed her without asking at the high school. You know what I mean?
It's like, God bless you, Lee.
I don't know. There's just things like that. But, you know, at the same time, we're making a TV show. And if we all just did the right thing all the time, it would be boring. So I understood that it was like heightened and different. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There was things where he like threw the brick at the windshield of Brooke's car. And I was like, where does this come from? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm reading the script and yet I'm like, here's the child actor in me, like, got to keep this job. So I'm just going to do whatever. Or just like, you know, Hillary, like in the later season, Mouth is like in a fat suit. And I was like, what is this? Like,
I had no idea.
It just
Lee
took a
told
turn
me
sometimes.
About this. Yeah. Just like, I forgot, you know, we did our Christmas movie a couple years ago and we're all staying in like a Hampton Inn in Louisiana, and Lee would come over at the end of the workday and we'd just talk about stuff that same way, like we've all kind of decompressed together. And Lee's like, oh yeah, do you remember like when Mouth was in a fat suit? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. I totally missed all of that.
Yeah. So these aren't so much misconceptions. It's just, I think that he can be viewed through a different lens now. And my hope is that I always, no matter what was written, I always wanted people to see his real heart, that he wanted to be a loyal and good friend. Whether he always did the right thing is definitely up for debate. But I hope that, because it was important for me to be on the show. I mean, there was pushback when they went to make me a regular. The network was like, well, he doesn't look like a model. And I was like, come on, guys. Like, you know, how many James and Chads do you need? Like, I thought what was cool about our show was that it was a little more grounded, and it was nice to see a human face looking back. And so I've always, of course, been protective of him because I spent so long playing him. But, you know, I understand that there are people that can feel differently about him. So
did the writers ever, like, did you have input with the writers when at some point as you stayed longer and got more comfortable, like just being there and being a part and really became a part of the show? Were there times when the writers would come to you and be like, hey, what, do you have any ideas or things like that?
No. That did not happen. And again, I think it all stems from that, just how I was raised. So like, I'm just going to see this through. But I do want to be careful too. There are writers on the show that I love and that I'm friends with. Yeah. And listen, coming up with storylines for all of these characters for 9 years.
Yeah. Spinning plates.
It's no wonder that I ended up in a fat suit. Like, I mean, you know, at some point, what are you going to do for these characters? So I want to be careful and say, I loved playing him. He was a great character. He got to do funny stuff. He got to do drama. So, you know, I'm grateful for that. But
Mouth was special because he was the everyman. You know what I mean? Like Mouth represented every kid in high school that wasn't captain of the basketball team, wasn't captain of the cheerleading squad. Yeah. Like, he's an important person for our fan base to be able to connect to.
Right.
However, Mouth pulled chicks. Like, every chick on the show had a Mouth episode,
I know,
is what I'm saying.
We had
our go-kart rendezvous.
We did.
You and Soph had, what was your romance? What'd you guys do?
Limo? I took Mouth to a strip club.
Right.
We had like a night in a limo. We were all dressed up. Oh God, I can't wait to get to that episode and figure out what in God's name we were doing. But I just remember that Lee and I were both so uncomfortable. And you know, this had to be Brooke Davis's idea.
Of course.
And Lee and I am like, what is happening? And the writers were like, yeah, it's going to be great. And I was like, I feel really uncomfortable. And you, sweet angel, you were like, I don't know. And you just kept putting your hands up because like you didn't want the girls to think you were going to try to touch them. And so the girls that had been hired to like be these, I mean, they were strippers.
Yeah.
Who were hired to come on the show, drew us little notes and smiley faces
on
their pasties.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. You're right.
Aww.
so they wore pasties because, like, they knew we were just.
They wrote notes
out
on their pasties?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so hi, I love the show. Once. Like, little spot. What?
Joy?
Joy?
I had no idea that was a stripper thing.
How did this story work around to Joy saying I did that?
When were you wearing pasties in someone's
in
lap?
The back of what's a high happening? School boy's car?
No, it was not. It was not One Tree Hill. It was a pilot I did later, I had to do my first like sex scene, and I had pasties on, and I just did in glitter, oh like up here with arrows, like on, you know, up on one and here on the
like,
other.
Like, look at my face. Please.
Yeah, the oh stop it was another one.
Oh Lee, you had multiple God. Strip club opportunities on our show. Where did you shoot that? Pure Gold.
I became the stripper later. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's right.
Yeah.
How long did it take before you were comfortable enough to show us your dance moves? Because for anybody that doesn't know, Lee is the best dancer on the show.
So good.
Well, I mean, that was in my younger age. Now I have a 2-year-old and I can't even bend over. But, I think you guys, I've heard you talk about this on the earlier episodes. Like, we saw pieces of ourselves start to being worked into the characters. And, you mm-hmm. know, we would go out, have some drinks or whatever, and we would blow off scene. We would go to like Oliver Twist and it was 80s night.
Oh my god.
We would go out and just dance and we were having fun, right? I mean,
you remember like downtown Wilmington and it being a big deal to get into Oliver Twist? Like, you don't wait in the line in Wilmington. Like, you were in Manhattan or something. Guys, we're on the list at Oliver Twist.
And then we could only go to certain places because James could only get into like certain places right. that they would let him in. So.
Not that he was doing anything illegal.
No, not at all.
Not that he wasn't 21 yet. But Lee, I will say, like, you and I laid the foundation of our friendship on loving hip hop and going dancing.
Do you remember our song?
Weekend.
I'm gonna
of course I do. We loved the Yin Yang Twins. We loved the Yin Yang Twins. Oh my God.
I remember that.
That is our song.
We would be like, you know, we would be like across the like bar or whatever. If this song would come on, it was like, you know, this.
It was like the Red Sea would part because Lee and I would be screaming, running toward each other like some weird drunken version of like a slow-mo love moment in like an 80s movie. And we'd just hit the middle of the floor and like we'd get the whole bar dancing. Yeah. And this didn't happen once. It happened all the time. Like all the time. That's how we became friends with Jane Beck, because she heard we would like go out dancing. So she started coming with us, and then Jane would do push-ups on the edge of the pool tables.
That's right.
Up at Steph's bar, the one upstairs, Odessa.
Odessa, the pool table.
Oh my God, yes. Right. And we were all like, Jane's the coolest person we've ever met.
The coolest.
And for everyone listening at home, Jane Beck is, you know, one of our very best friends from the show, worked in our wardrobe department for years, is like a brilliant, badass, creative woman who also is the strongest person I've ever met and can do push-ups in a handstand.
Yeah. And I have to say too, guys who are listening, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get on the dance floor. This is how I met my wife. Like,
can always get the ladies with dancing.
There's tons of guys standing on the side, and they're not gonna get in there. So go out, do it, have fun, and you never know what's gonna take you. But yeah, then
of course,
showed up in the script. You know, 3 episodes later, where Mouth's like spying on cheerleaders and learns the cheerleading routine. And,
oh God!
Oh my God! It's so precious.
Yeah.
What was your favorite episode, Lee?
Oh my God. I have different ones for different reasons. I mean, I think 316, the school shooting, is like obviously important for a lot of reasons, not just the obvious ones about the subject matter, but also like the whole, you know, we didn't know if the show was going to make it because that's when the networks were combining and we all felt like sort of spurred to try to do something to prove like we're worthy to like continue on or whatever. So that one's special. And then I love the very last episode where Mouth gets to give his speech about what you do matters and how you do it matters. And they set up a scholarship fund based on Jimmy and all that. So there's pieces of different ones, but, and then all the times we went on trips, it was just so fun. Whenever it was like sleepaway camp.
Trips
were
fun. They were interesting. He's a good traveling buddy. Let's just put it that way. Lee's also the guy that you want in your corner. We're going to get into a little segment in 1 second. But before we do that, I need everyone to know, if you're ever at a wedding, and you need to sit next to someone that will get you in trouble. It is Lee Norris. We went to Tyler Hilton's wedding together.
Oh my God.
And they sat us at the actor table at the reception. And an actor who will remain nameless, who was more famous than we are.
We'll tell you after.
We tried to include them in our conversation because, right, like, we're all like small town Southern kids, like, hey, man, let's be friends. You know, that's, you engage when you meet strangers.
Was this person by themselves at the wedding?
No.
No, they were with their girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
But Lee and I try to get this person to, like, engage. And we're like, terrible idea, right? And so we're like, hey, what's up? And they just stood up and walked away. Just like left. And so as the night progresses and Lee and I are on the dance floor and drinking drinks and having a great night, the whole rest of the night we'll have to beep this. Lee would yell out, "Fuck you!" to this guy across the wedding. And I was just like, it's such a strong move to know your circle of friends are and to be like, we're going to roll deep tonight, friends. And I don't care that it's someone's nuptials. We're going for it.
Oh, my God.
He's the best date.
That's
just a good date.
So phenomenal. Lee, stories. Even your wedding.
Stories, guys.
Your wedding was the best. Like, I have seen photos from your wedding where I'm just like, who is that person I was dancing with? And then, like, we were all just raging. It was like a sea of bodies.
So fun.
It was like a music festival, but it was also like a very beautiful, gorgeous, like, North Carolina on the water event. But, like, we just can't help ourselves. We turn it into a rager if we're all in the same room.
The wedding planner was like, do you want a band or a DJ? That's, like, the big question when you're having a wedding, right? And I was like, looking around Wilmington, I'm like, I don't know if there's any bands that are going to be able to pull off Ying Yang Twins. So how about a DJ? they brought in a DJ and we just, you know, lost our minds.
I loved it. When that song turned, Andrea is so sweet. Y'all, Andrea is Lee's wife. And our song came on and she just literally handed you to me. And I was like, thank you. Thank you, sister friend. This is our moment.
She loves you. Yeah.
I know Andrea loves me because of that moment. God, and I mean all the years of our friendship, obviously.
Yeah.
But Lee Norris, the moment I realized you really loved me and that we were like really in it and we'd become best friends was when might have been 3 years into our friendship.
Yeah.
You finally admitted to me that you do not ever allow anyone to eat off your plate. Ever.
Really?
And I have eaten off of your plate. Since
so
the
many times.
Second night we had dinner together, I just was like, oh, that looks delicious. I'm going to try that. And Lee, I didn't know, was like, oh, my God. And he would eat around the bites I had taken for months, but didn't have the heart to like break my little Italian like family style spirit. And eventually he got over it and would, you know, we would just share food. But you told me years later and I was like, you sweet human.
Well, there was something clearly wrong with me. I don't know why. It was just one of those weird things. But like, I grew up as an only child, as you did, Soph. And so I just wasn't used to like that feast or famine environment of like, you know, I
don't touch my things, guys. Yeah. God. We do a segment here called Deep Thoughts with the Drama Queens, Lee. This is what we're going to do with all our guests. Joy, why don't you hit him with some deep thoughts?
All right. So, Lee, I would like to hear what your favorite and least favorite storyline with your character was.
Oh, my God.
That you remember. No. I know we were saying, you know, it's hard to remember all of them because it's a lot of episodes and a lot of in and out. So, I mean, but that
just
you
whatever
recall.
Comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too many. I mean, I think one of my favorites, I can't pin down a favorite. One of my favorites was just the way the whole storyline with Jimmy Edwards played out, with Colin being a friend of mine and him coming back and doing that amazing, powerful performance. And I know you'll have him on to talk about that. So doing that and then like the follow-up episode where like Mouth gets, I think takes Jimmy's yearbook and like gets it signed by everyone and takes it to Jimmy Edwards's mom, who was played by this sweet, amazing actress who's in North Carolina, who's a professor at UNCW, who was just like, she started crying in the scene and I started crying. I was just like, that was a favorite. I loved the relationship with Brooke, I loved that it evolved from this him having a crush on her thing to just being, you know, like we are, like mm-hmm. like friend, like good friends, you know. And just I always loved those scenes. Least favorite, the scene
fat
when
suit.
The fat suit. You know, just whatever.
I can't wait till we get there. It has, so much has been made of this thing, and I can't wrap my head around it. I'm like,
You know, I think the other one that I sometimes cringe about was like Mouth and his, he like hooked up with his boss at the TV station, and I was just
oh, that's right.
That was challenging.
that.
You know, yes. Again, it's just, it's hard. It's hard to come up with storylines, but, I had a lot of fun. So,
and yeah. What about when if you have a friend who's like coming to Wilmington, tell us what your number one must do. I mean, especially being a North Carolina boy, like what do you tell your friend? Hey, here's what you got to hit when you're in
Wilmington.
It's
all about food. And so don't share your plate, but you have to go to, you have to go to Brasserie and you have to get their mac and cheese.
Yes.
Which I just did 2 weeks ago. And
Brasserie du Soleil.
Yes.
I love that we all still go there. That's where I had dinner when I was in town last too. The tartar.
Yes.
The tartar is so good.
Go there and get the mac and cheese. Go to Tower 7 and just
fish tacos.
Everything there.
Margaritas.
Yeah.
What I would give for a Tower 7 moment right now.
Ooh.
I know. And then sadly, Deluxe is no longer Deluxe, but the space is still there. It's something, it's called something else, but.
Is it a similar vibe from Deluxe?
Yeah, it is. It's still got like that nice exposed brick bar. I mean, if anybody really is a fan of the show and wants to see where we like lived our lives and aired out some talks, like the bar at Penn, I think it's called Pinpoint now, like just sit there and like our
it's
ghosts
got our secrets.
Roaming around. Yeah.
Well, do you remember when we shot the pilot, the Dawson's Creek kids were still wrapping last season? And like, we would just watch them in the window of Deluxe, like, okay. And the second they vacated the premises, that's when we like infiltrated and we're like, well, I guess it's ours.
It's
turf war.
I think about that bar and I think about that amazing line we all loved from the first episode when Karen says that place knows too much. Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, Deluxe knows too much.
Deluxe and Firebelly.
Boom. Oh, we shot Firebelly. Amazing.
All I'm saying is, didn't they have like super cheap tacos at Firebelly? Like, you get a taco for like 50 cents.
Yep.
Hillary, I think you and I used to go. Like we would meet each other on like Thursday.
Yeah. I lived
like,
above
$2
it.
$2 tacos. Yeah.
They would order that beer Ho Garden for me because that's the beer that I liked. And when I moved, they gave me all the cases that they had in the basement because they were like, no one else drinks this shit, Hillary. Like, you're the only one. So if you're moving,
take it with you.
That's Wilmington. That sums up Wilmington.
Good neighbors.
I'm curious from your perspective as, I mean, you were there with us in so we have all these onset memories and we were saying it was hard to separate what the audience was seeing and why the show kind of took on this pop culture zeitgeist, like phenomenal, like just went off and blew up. God, I can't talk. But you know what I'm saying? So like, you know, for all of us, it was hard to really see why and how that happened and what that was like for the audience because they were all wrapped up with the behind the scenes stuff that we were experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because you were in and out a little bit more, can you explain a little bit about why, like, why do you think the show just took off the way that it did and stuck?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think particularly being at Wake Forest as a senior in college, while the first season started airing, like when the pilot aired, I was at Wake and my friends like threw a premiere party in the auditorium, in the like communications auditorium. Aww. And like my friend made cookies and, you know, we were in the seats like watching it. And I was like telling them all, I was like, cause the OC had just come out and we were like, there was all this fanfare. And I was like, well, it's kind of like the OC, but better hopefully. And like, it's a little more like North Carolina. And, you know, I was just trying
less
to explain
sexy,
it.
Less sexy.
And yeah, I think it was an interesting perspective to be able to see like real kids like watching it and reacting to it. And yeah, I think it's a lot of what you guys have touched on, I think. I think, just to be perfectly honest, I think you three are a huge reason of why the vulnerability and the things that you guys tapped into as actresses, it just felt a little more real and grounded, I think, than some of the other stuff that was out there. And I love that we started with that small town feel and that it wasn't all like, you know, kids, just rich kids, like that there was that sort of soul to it. I think that's what drew, you know, all of us to it as actors even. So yeah, and just watching that play out at school and seeing kids' reactions, that's a lot of what I saw. But you know, it's cool to go back now and watch it and as an adult and see it clicking in different ways and as a dad and kind of just, you know, it's totally different.
Yeah. Now that you're a dad, like Lee, you've done a little bit of everything. You've done a ton of TV. You've done a ton of movies. Like in this chapter, what would you want to do next? Me? I want like a cushy Disney Channel job where I just play a mom that comes in and like wags my finger and then I go home, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's your dream gig at this point in your career?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly, I feel so lucky. Like I feel really fulfilled in a lot of ways. I mean, for me, any character that is like even going off and doing the little role in Zodiac was so fun for me because it wasn't the nice kid. It was this creepy kid who's like out with this married woman and like he's wearing three layers of clothes and like something's up with this kid. Like, you know, just playing sort of off characters is kind of fun for me because it's just so different than the quintessential nice guy or nerdy character. So anything that offers depth like that is fun. But, you know, I'll still do the nice guy stuff too.
And what's Greyhound about? Tell us about Greyhound. Yeah. That's your next project.
So Greyhound was this amazing movie that was supposed to have a great, you know, big release in theaters pre-COVID, obviously. And so when COVID came along, it ended up Apple TV snapped it up and made it available. But yeah, it's Tom Hanks.
It's just Tom Hanks, guys. Sorry. Lee's off just working with Tom Hanks
in the world.
He wrote the script based on a book, and you know, they asked if I wanted to audition for it. It was like Messenger number two, and I was like, I don't care if it's Messenger 47. If I get to hang out with Tom Hanks for 2 months, I will audition.
47.
Whatever, you know. So I did, and I was so lucky to get to do it. And I spent 2 months in Louisiana shooting with him and other guys, and we were on this. You know, they made the fake bow of the ship and we were on a gimbal that was controlled electronically. So they were like shifting us around and throwing water on us and wind.
Wow.
It was like a masterclass to just stand 5 feet from Tom Hanks and watch him day in and day out. And then, you know, go up and have my interactions with them. And it was just, that's one of those jobs where it's like, I don't care if this movie ever does anything. I don't care what I make from it. Like just to have that experience, like, you know, I just feel lucky that I got to watch it and see it. But anyway, it's on Apple TV Plus now. You can stream it. If you're into World War II movies, it's really amazing to see the Navy aspects of all of it. We got to talk to some actual World War II survivors that were still alive when we were shooting. And that was like, for me, I was an English major and a history buff, and to get to talk to those guys who were on these ships and hear about their experiences was like, I mean, just the coolest thing ever. So
Lee, you have to direct now. You have to direct. You have been doing this for so long and you have such good instincts. Like,
you just so direct cool of you us. Say. Yeah, let's just do, you know, let's do another Christmas movie or a reunion or something. And I just want to hang out with you guys.
Christmas and Firebelly. It'll be tacos. Christmas and Tower 7.
Exactly.
Lee, you're in charge.
Yep. And there'll be an impromptu dance off.
Oh my
They're messy.
God.
I can't wait. I actually wonder, because we had so many great artists on the show. So, you know, you're married, so we can't get someone to come play your wedding. But if you were going to pick any of the artists who came and played at Trek to do your next birthday party, is there someone at the top of your list? Or is it just the Yin Yang Twins forever?
You know, we were so spoiled. I mean, with like Sheryl Crow was on the show and, I always loved the Jimmy World guys. I thought those guys were so nice. And, you know, we went down and like saw them in Myrtle Beach and they nicely invited us backstage. And I just love those guys and I love their music. But God, the music was so good. I'm like watching, as I'm going back and watching it now, I'm like writing down songs. I'm like, I haven't downloaded this because I'm not cool enough anymore to know like what the good music is. So
we need iPods. We're selling cheetah bras. We're selling Joy Crystal bracelets and iPod shuffles.
Preloaded with all the Wonder.
Do you remember when they gave us those little flip cams that were like the little videos?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. What were those things called?
They were called flip cams.
They were called flips.
Yeah.
I wonder if mine is still around. Guys, what is on those?
All right. We're going to do an attic scavenger hunt. Okay.
Oh, man.
I know Paul still has his somewhere. I'm almost positive he does.
Well, we know Antoine has his too. So apparently, has Antoine told all of you guys this? He has tons of footage of us.
Oh my God.
Tons and tons. And I'm like, are you going to turn it into a documentary? And he's like, I don't know, sis, maybe. And I'm just like, oh God.
Maybe we should take it first and look at it.
We'll have a screening night. I can't even imagine what he has. It's exciting. Lee, will you come back? Will you come back and just like visit us all the time?
I'll come back anytime. You don't even have to record it. I just want to hang out with you guys.
I miss you.
I'm so glad you're doing this. And Andrea and I are going to be listening and watching along. So yes, I would love to come.
Kiss Andrea, kiss the baby. I love you guys.
Yes,
I will.
Please.
I will. Love you guys.
Big hugs.
Bye, Lee. Thanks.
Bye.
Love you, bud. I just love him so much.
Honestly, like Lee is who you call when you need to bury a body. He is true blue, so good, and so talented. Honestly, I'm not even joking when I like, you know, kid that he creates iconic characters. Mm-hmm. He does.
He really understands all the layers. I mean, he built in a lot of layers into Mouth. That easily could have just been like a one note thing, and he built a lot of layers in.
Mm-hmm. And when you watch the way he works, you know, he gave the same kind of dedication of character and empathy and intellect on our funny little CW show as he does working with David Fincher, working with Tom Hanks. I mean, he shows up and is so just good and creative. It's funny, you know, when he talks about standing with Tom Hanks and it feeling like a masterclass. I remember I have like flashes of days on set where we'd be doing something and every once in a while, I'd have a thought of like, you got get back in the scene, because I'd be watching Lee work. And then I'd be like, yep, I got to be Brooke Davis now. Yep. Okay, let me say my line. Like he would distract me with the ingenuity of the choices he would make.
So cool.
He never leaned into the Steve Urkel of it all. Do you know what I mean? Like he could have easily made Mouth a joke, and instead he made him this really like empathetic everyman that like everyone could connect to. Everybody wanted Mouth to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted Mouth to get the girl. Which girl on our show did you like him with best?
Kelsey.
Kelsey was, how old was Kelsey?
What was her character's name?
Gigi.
Yeah. I think she was 19. I think she or maybe younger. Oh no, wait, no. Younger. 16. No.
She was like 15.
I think she
or
lied
16.
And said she was 16. Baby, I think she was like 13, 14. I think she was incredibly young.
Maybe 15. Yeah. I don't know. 13, 14.
Maybe. Because there was also Erica, right? Erica Marsh.
Oh, right.
Kath Bayless.
Bayless, yeah.
Oh, talk about a dancer. Catherine Bayless.
Mouth, the sweetest.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's man. Him.
And then Liz Arnois, Shelley, the clean teen.
Oh, yeah.
They had their entanglement.
I thought him and Gigi were so cute together.
It was cute.
Cassie.
But I loved later when he wound up with Lisa Goldstein.
Yes, that was a winning pair.
Yeah.
Their sweet relationship.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm mad I never kissed him.
I know.
Me too. Come on.
Damn.
Hello.
Never got a shot. Girls, is it time for Most Likely To?
I mean, let's hit it.
Let's spin the wheel.
Can we get a drum roll?
Spin the wheel.
Join the CIA. Who
is most likely to join the CIA?
And this is characters or actors or both?
Oh, any old
anything
buddy.
Throughout the any entire run of the show. Most likely to join the CIA.
Ooh, the CIA. Barry. Mysterious. Barry. You know what, Joy?
Whitey.
You're right. You're right. Because Barry Corbin, I want to say, is like from New Jersey. He was like a Shakespearean actor. Like
what?
From,
Barry with his southern accent and his.
And he decided to become a cowboy as an adult. Mm. Hold on a second. Look, Google Barry Corbin. And he created this whole other persona. And it worked. And it tricked
and
everybody.
It's just who he is now.
No, he, it says here he was born in Texas, but he told me he lived in New Jersey for a long time. Hold on.
Mm, maybe he was in the CIA when he was in Jersey.
I'm saying. Honestly. He's telling stories.
I will say, though, after our analysis of Lee Norris's incredible acting skills, I feel like he'd be great in the CIA.
Oh, yeah. He could pull it off for sure. As like one of those actors, like, you know, they've been doing it since the 40s. I guess they would have actors. Betty Grable was working for, you know, so they fly over and you just go to a restaurant for dinner, but you're actually like passing off a package to somebody in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I think Lee could pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he can be the life of the party and he can completely, you know, put his three layers on and disappear in the corner. And it, oof.
I wish he was still here. Good. We should do this with our guests next time. I keep forgetting. I know.
All right, so which character would join the CIA? We have a couple, like, teammates, but who is elusive? I mean, Karen disappeared for a very long time and, like, came back with a man that none of us knew. Like,
Andy.
Cute Andy. She had a whole other life that we never got to see.
She was also definitely in the CIA.
Michael Trucco's character, who suddenly appeared out of, like, nobody
knew
he existed.
The race car guy?
Yeah.
I'm not complaining
Uncle
about
Cooper.
That. Trucco was
Uncle
a babe.
Uncle Cooper. Trucco was such a babe. Is such a babe. who else?
Yeah. Mm.
Those feel like real good choices to me.
Yeah. Okay.
We're good at this game. All right. We'll play it again next week.
Good. Thank you guys for joining us. Episode 3 of One Tree Hill. We're so excited to watch it. Come back next week and watch another and talk with us about it. Well, listen to us talk, but you know, we want to hear your thoughts too. So
send
post
us your
an
questions.
Email and reach out to us.
Yeah. And guys, we are loving your feedback on socials, hearing about your realizations and the scenes you had forgotten about and
your artwork.
And even you all talking to us about some of the things we've said. I mean, we're just buds talking to each other. We forget. And then you'll quote us on Twitter. And I'm like, oh my God, we did say that this week, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Do you know, so real quick, we're going to end with this. My son finally, after all these years, thinks I'm cool. Because do you know who follows Drama Queens on Twitter?
Who?
John Cena.
No.
Stop it right now.
No, he does not.
So John Cena, if you're listening,
come.
Hey girl, you can hang with us, girl.
Yes. John Cena, come hang on our show and tell us all about why you love it.
We're all about that high school drama girl, drama girl. All about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl.
Drama girl.
Cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens.
Smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.